And now, the life of Mary Southern. Those of you who have had someone's wagging tongue completely upset your plans can sympathize with Mary Southern. She and Max had almost convinced Jeffrey Barton, a wealthy Chicago businessman, that the town of Sanders would be an excellent site for his new factory. Then Sheriff Barstow dropped in and proceeded to loudly proclaim that Sanders was becoming a highly tensioned, quarrelsome town. Barton doesn't know that this antagonistic attitude of the people is due in a large part to Gerald Proust, who has spread malicious rumors about Max in an effort to have him ousted as town manager. When Sheriff Barstow left, Mary and Max were in an extremely embarrassing position. Max attempted to use the nonchalance which is prescribed for such occasions, and he and Barton left for the office as had been planned. It is 2 hours later. Mary is alone in the Sanders mansion when Max returns.
Hey, Mary, are you home?
In the kitchen, Max.
Oh.
Well, come in quietly, dear. I've got a cake in the oven. I don't want it to fall.
Okay. How was that, huh?
Perfect. Now tell me, what happened? Mr. Barton make a decision?
Oh, no. He puttered around for about an hour looking at the reports and... Then he said he wanted to take a drive and check on the land site.
Why didn't you go with him?
Huh? Oh, I didn't get an invitation. Since Torrance shot off his mouth, my company's been poisoned to him.
Well, you can't blame him.
Uh-huh.
After we just finished assuring him that Sanders was a peace-loving community, Sheriff Barstow had to disprove every statement we made.
Yes, I felt like choking him.
Poor Sheriff Barstow. But he meant well, Max. He was just anxious to see how you were feeling at that horrible street corner fight.
Yeah, I suppose so. But he certainly fixed things with his blabbing. Boy, I'd have settled for a good beating in place of that look that Barton gave us after Torrance left.
I know it. I think we should have explained about everything right then and there.
You mean about my trouble with that gambling crowd and this mill meeting that old man Proust is trying to steam up?
Yes, Max, that's what I mean.
Well,
I know confiding your personal problems to someone like Mr. Barton isn't generally done, but in this case, those problems are part of the issue. They're erecting the one barrier that's preventing Mr. Barton from closing his proposition.
Yeah, I get the drift, Mary, but... Well, how can I go to a guy like Barton, a guy that I'm doing business with, and say, listen, pal, I've been in jail. I tried to clean up a gambling ring, and the cops thought that I was part of the gang, and... Slugged me in the who's cup.
Well, you wouldn't have to say it just like that, dear.
Well...
Let's see. You could explain about the sudden raid that took place before you had the opportunity to inform the police yourself. That trouble's causing you a feeling in Sanders.
Now listen, Mary, let me tell you something. You know, the hardest thing to make people believe is the truth. You'll find that out someday. You see, he'd think that I was telling him more fairy tales. And give me that 20-pound look that I got before.
I don't agree with you, Max.
Huh?
The direct path is the shortest way home. I think people sometimes spend too much time planning elaborate explanations, and when the simple and direct truth is always the best.
Well, sounds swell when you say it like that, but it wouldn't work, Toots. The guy is ice where we're concerned. I'm all in from trying to convince him.
He's coming back here to pick up Laura's bag, isn't he, Max?
Yeah, he should pop in any time.
Max, would you mind if I talked to him?
Huh?
Told him a little about the opposition we've had.
Oh, go ahead. He's all yours, Toots. Say, I'm going to shave.
All right. Let's not say anything more about it.
Yeah.
I'll see what I can do. Oh, Max, shave down here if you like. Your things are in this medicine cabinet.
Well, hey, how come? You bring my razor down to open a can of beans?
Well, you're close. Jimmy was playing barbershop until I caught him.
Boy, I'll have to get those kids a couple of buzz saws to play.
Well, I bet they'd try. Oh, Max, that must be Mr. Barton.
Hey, are you scared, Toots? Listen, if you say the word, I'll talk to him.
It was my idea. I'll do it. You go ahead and shave.
All right.
Oh, I'm coming. Oh, don't let my cake burn, Max. It's almost done.
No, it's all right. I'll watch it. If you need any help in there, holler.
How do you do, Mrs. Sanders?
How do you do?
I'm sorry to trouble you, but is my daughter here?
Why, no, she isn't, Mr. Barton. Won't you come in?
Thank you. You haven't any idea where she might be?
Why, no, I haven't.
I planned on taking the next train into Chicago.
Well, I'll call Phyllis. How she might be there.
No, I phoned her. She's left.
Oh, she should be along any minute now, then. Won't you come into the living room and sit down?
Well, I suppose that's the only thing I can do. You'll have to come here eventually to pick up a bag.
Mm-hmm. Could I bring you a cool drink, Mr. Barton? Some iced tea or lemonade?
No, thank you. Not a thing. I'll just sit here and wait a few minutes.
Mr. Barton, I'd like to talk to you about something that happened here a little while ago.
I don't believe explanations are necessary, Mrs. Sanders.
I think this explanation is due.
I'd prefer that you didn't trouble yourself.
Well, let's put it this way, if you don't mind. I think it's only fair to my husband and to myself that you hear an explanation.
If you wish, Mrs. Sanders.
Mr. Barton, you're a businessman, and I realize that you're not interested in our personal difficulties, but this has a definite bearing on the factory proposition. You see, my husband attempted to do something in Sanders, and his methods were misunderstood. He tried to prove his innocence, but there's no one in town who are anxious to see him lose his position, and they've incited the people against him.
I see. And you believe this highly tensioned state of affairs is a personal matter that concerns their feelings for your husband and doesn't reflect the general character of the people?
That's it exactly.
Well, this Sheriff Barstow, I believe that's the name,
mm-hmm.
he seemed to feel that, well, to quote his own words, the town is becoming tough.
Well, I'm certain Sheriff Barstow didn't mean that as it sounded, Mr. Barton. He's fond of Max, and all the discussions about a mill meeting to remove Max from his office have disturbed him.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to doubt your word, Mrs. Sanders. I don't like to take chances with other people's money. As I said before, I must protect my stockholders' interests.
You feel that locating your factory in Sanders would jeopardize them?
Frankly, yes. Unless, of course, I could be positive that this ill feeling is, as you say, a personal matter.
All I can give you is my word that it is, Mr. Barton.
I admire your frankness, Mrs. Sanders. Would you care to tell me a little more about these difficulties?
Yes, if you don't mind. My husband tried to break up a gambling ring here in Sanders, and he was arrested as one of the offenders, and he can't clear himself of this charge until one of the gangsters, who escaped, is recaptured to testify.
That must put your husband in an extremely awkward position.
Very difficult, Mr. Button. People here naturally feel that he isn't the man to be head of the town.
Yes, I can appreciate that.
We can, too, but the thing that's made it doubly trying is this element I mentioned before. Two men in particular who kept the resentment growing.
Yes, I've met people of that type myself.
I suppose every businessman has.
Mrs. Sanders, you have unusual understanding.
Thank you.
I'd like to sleep on what you told me. I think now I can make a much fairer decision than I would have before we had this discussion.
I appreciate that very much, Mr. Barton. Oh, there's a front door. Perhaps it's Laura.
I hope so. If it is, that young lady is going to receive a lecture on punctuality.
We'll see.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello.
Is that here?
Yes, it's in the living room, Laura. You may as well be prepared for a lecture on keeping your father waiting.
Oh, I'm not afraid.
The lost is found, Mr. Barton.
Well, young woman, I've been waiting for you.
Oh, Dad, you'll forgive me when I tell you what happened. Mary, this is a shame, but we'll have to run right out on you to make it in time.
What are you talking about? Run out where?
To dinner. We have a dinner engagement.
With whom? Well, we don't know anyone but the Sanders here. Mrs. Sanders knows we're leaving for Chicago immediately.
Oh, no, we aren't. Huh? We'll take a later train or stay over. We're having dinner with Marion Borden's aunt. She lives in Sanders.
Marion Borden? Oh, yes, of course. You're a roommate at college.
But talk about a small world and strange coincidences. Here I find the aunt of my dearest friend living in Sanders.
Well, that must have been exciting. How did you happen to meet her?
Well, I was in that little sweet shop on Main Street having them send some maple sugar to a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
She overheard me give my name, and so she asked me if I knew a Marion Borden. Of course I did. We started to talk, and there we were.
No, I'm scheduled to dine with practically strangers.
Oh, how can she be a stranger, Dad, when she's Marion's aunt? Oh, come on, get your bonnet. Mary, dear, I do hate to dash like this.
Why, that's all right, Laura.
Oh, I almost forgot to tell you her name. She says she knows you very well, too.
Oh, well, everyone knows everyone else here. Who is it?
A Mrs. Proust. Henrietta Proust.
Laura and Jeffrey Barton dining in the enemy's camp. And just when Mary's honesty and straightforwardness had almost convinced Mr. Barton that his unfavorable opinion of Sanders was incorrect, what will the proofs tell Jeffrey Barton?